2 Samuel chapter 9, and I want to look at this morning and ask God to help us. 2 Samuel chapter 9, and if you're willing and physically able, let's stand together as we read the Word of God, 2 Samuel chapter number 9, and I want to try to be obedient to the Lord this morning. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture, but looking back in my records, I've only preached out of this text one time in 8 years of pastoring here, and it was my first year. And so I want to come look at this text this morning and ask the Lord to help us. The Bible said, "And David said," verse 1, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was one of the house of Saul, a servant, whose name was Ziba," or Ziba, however you want to pronounce it. "And when they had called unto him," he had called unto him David, "the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not any of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness unto him?" I'm going back between Zib and Ziba. We're going to stick with Ziba, all right? I didn't know which one was right. Ziba sounds better, so we're going to try that. Didn't want to go through and think there was four people named Ziba, Ziba, Ziba in the text, all right? Verse 3, apparently his mama didn't like him to name him Ziba, amen? Nobody knows how to pronounce it. "And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he's in the house of Maker, the son of Amliel, in Lodibar. Then King David sent and fetched him." See, God's always been partial to country people. Look at them words, fetch. "Fetched him out of the house of Maker, the son of Amliel, from Lodibar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth? And he answered, Behold thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake. And we'll restore unto thee," y'all getting ahead of me, "we'll restore unto thee all the land of Saul thy father. And thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant, that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Then the king called to Ziba, Send all that pertain to Saul and all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons, and thy servants shall till the land for him. Thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread all the way at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, "According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons." When Mephibosheth had a young son, whose name was Micah, and all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet. Father, we sure do thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have to be in the house of God today. Oh, I am reminded, Lord, that today, a year today, we was out in that parking lot, Lord, trying to figure out what to do. But, Lord, we're standing here this morning singing and shouting and rejoicing because you are faithful. We thank you for that this morning. What I pray now is, Lord, we open your word. I pray it touches, fill us with the Holy Ghost. Lord, cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill us with thy spirit. What I pray, get glory to yourself. Save that soul nearest hell. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Now, if you're a Bible student, you understand 2 Samuel chapter 9 is a great story that we have here of Mephibosheth and the kindness that David shows to Mephibosheth. He did not deserve it. And I want to look at this text this morning, and I want to consider Mephibosheth's story today in relation to our story. I want to look at it in type and pictures, if you would. You know, Jesus, he preached that way. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And we understand we don't build doctrines on types, and we don't, they're all types eventually fall off. But I believe the Lord has allowed us to see a picture of the grace of God here in 2 Samuel chapter number 9. By way of typology, we see that David is the type picture of God, or type in a picture of the Lord Jesus, if you would. Then you have Ziba, he is a picture of the Holy Spirit. And then you have Mephibosheth, he is a picture of you and I as the sinner. I want to preach on this little thought this morning on Mephibosheth and me. Mephibosheth and me, because when I look at Mephibosheth's life and when I look at his story, I see my story. And really, if you study the text and look at it as we will this morning, you'll have to agree that you see your story here in 2 Samuel chapter number 9. Let's look at the text today. First of all, I want to say a word, friend, about the desire of the sovereign. The desire of the sovereign. We find this begins in verse number 1 with a divine consideration. David said, is there any left of the house of Saul? In the context of the scripture, David is now king over Israel. He has finally taken the throne, and it was custom for when the king took the throne that he would annihilate the previous king's family. And so he asked here, is there any left of the house of Saul? This divine consideration that I see here is that even though David is on the throne, even though David is ruling and reigning, even though David has all power and all authority, he's thinking about the lowly. He's thinking about the wicked. He's thinking about those that are by nature his enemies. Mephibosheth is of the house of Saul. By nature, he is the enemy of Saul. But David, sitting up on his throne, is thinking about those who are naturally his enemy. You ought to thank God this morning that God up in heaven, in eternity past, sitting on his throne, he thought of you and he thought of me. Paul said, we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We were sinners by nature, by birth, and by choice. We were the enemy of God, but I'm so glad that God had mercy and that God had compassion, and that while God was sitting up on his throne, he thought of you and he thought of me. Saul did not do anything in his life but try to destroy and dishonor David. And can I say this? Your sins destroyed the Lord Jesus Christ, putting them on a cross, and our disobedience has dishonored Jesus Christ. But he's still thinking about us anyway. He's still considering us. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the Son of God when he's visiting him? Psalm 40:17 says, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh on me. Aren't you glad this morning that God considered you in your lost condition? The divine consideration. But then also we see the displayed compassion. He says, there ain't left the house of Saul that I may show him kindness. May show him kindness. That little word kindness there is the same Hebrew word in our King James Bible for mercy and for goodness and for grace. He says, so without doing harm to the text, he says, is there anybody in the house of Saul that I can show grace to? Remember, Saul's his enemy. Saul is his arch enemy. And Mephibosheth is the descendant of Saul. But David said, is there any of that crowd that I can show grace to? Hey, Mephibosheth did not do anything to earn this grace. He did not do anything to earn this favor. It was just birthed in the heart of David. We did not deserve God's mercy. We did not do anything to deserve God's grace. Anybody listen to me? It was just in his heart. It was just his desire, friend. Warren Wiersbe said, nobody in all of Israel except David could have shown this kindness to Mephibosheth, because David was king. He had inherited all that belonged to King Saul and could dispose of it as he saw fit. Saul never shown David grace or kindness, but this was not a reaction. This was an action. It wasn't responding to Saul being good to David. It was David being good to Saul in spite of how bad Saul had been to David. You get a hold of that in a little while. God didn't save you because you done something good. He saved you because you were something bad. I know they sing the song, he saw something in me worth saving. There wasn't nothing good in you. Bible said there's none good, no, not one. We're not worth the bullet it'd take to put us out of this world. But I'm so glad God considered us. God looked our way. It is nothing more than amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, thank God. Bible said, but God commendeth his love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We find the divine consideration, display compassion. But then we find the detailed covenant. He said, is there any less of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness? Watch this phrase, for Jonathan's sake. trust. I said, preacher, what's the big deal with that? Well, the kindness that David wanted to show to the descendants of Saul was based on something long before Mephibosheth ever came along. You see, 1 Samuel 17 is a big old giant down in the valley. And he is cursing God's name. And he's a cursing God's people. And there ain't nobody that can defeat the giant. Saul's head and shoulders above every man in Israel. But Saul's not enough to go fight the battle. But here comes a shepherd that's been anointed. He is the eighth son of his father. Eighth number of new beginning. He was sent by his father to check on his brethren to the valley of Elah. Elah means the place of the tree. David's name means beloved. And there wasn't nobody else that could beat the giant. But the beloved son who was sent by the father went to the place of the tree and went and fought that big old giant and defeated him. And what'd he do? He chopped his head off. That's my kind of fella. Chopped his head off, put the armor in his tent, buried that head on a hill in Jerusalem that they call Golgotha. And won the victory. Chapter 18, Jonathan and David make a covenant on the basis of what had just happened in chapter 17. I wish somebody's picking up while I'm laying down. Y'all are dead compared to where we've been the last 2 days. And he said in chapter 17, the enemy had been defeated. And in chapter 18, the covenant was made. Since the giant's been defeated, let's make a covenant. And that covenant said, Jonathan's telling David, if you or your family's ever in trouble, I'll be there to help you. And David's saying to Jonathan, if you or your family's ever there in trouble, I'll be there to help you. And they would seal it with blood. Oh, come on, y'all. They would seal it with blood. And they would finalize that covenant on the basis of blood. And so Mephibosheth, he don't understand all of this. But David said, I remember that blood covenant I made a long time ago after I won the victory. And I just want to reenact that covenant in somebody's life. Thank God at Calvary, the great enemy was defeated. Jesus Christ won the victory. Victory was won at Calvary. And it was won on the basis of the blood. And there was a covenant made long before I ever got here. Long before I ever came along. There was a covenant made. And I got in on it, thank God. The detailed covenant. Then there's the desperate candidate. Verse 2 and 3. There was the house of Saul. Boy, Lord, that's just in verse 1. There was the house of Saul, a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they called unto him, called him unto David, the king said, thou Ziba? He said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, I got one candidate for you. Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. He said, king, I know a boy can't help himself. I have a great candidate for your grace. Amen. If you're breathing this morning, you are a candidate for the grace of God. He said, watch this now. Old Ziba said, he is a fugitive. You see, the reason he's a fugitive is because of his birth. He's born in the family of Saul. But then he had a fall. 2 Samuel chapter 4 tells us when the tidings that came in Israel that Jonathan and Saul were dead, that Mephibosheth was 5 years old, and his nurse picked him up, and they began to run out of the city, and she tripped and fell. And because of the fall, he was lame on his feet. So he was crippled because of the fall of another. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death is passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Are you getting this, or is this Reader's Digest, or you picking up what I'm laying down? He was crippled by a fall. He was a fugitive, but then he was in a far country. You know where he's at? He is down in Lodibar, in the house of Maker, the son of Amliel. And this speaks of his, the word Maker means sold. He was a slave. And Amliel, son of Amliel, in a place called Lodibar. Lodibar means no pasture and no bread. speaks of the hunger and the longing in his soul. There was nothing down at Lodi Bar that was satisfying him. There was nothing down there that fed him. He was sold. He was in the house of Maker. He was in that house, a prison, if you would. He's down there with no bread, but Ziba said, I know right where he's at. I know a perfect candidate for your kindness there, Mr. David. King David, I know you're talking about wanting to show kindness. I know an old boy that needs one. Ziba pictures the Holy Spirit, and aren't you glad the Holy Ghost of God has been commissioned by God to speak out sinners? He finds perfect candidates, those who are sinners, those lost without God, those that are blind, those that are lame, those that can't help themselves. He said, I know where you can find one. We find the direct command, verse 4 and 5. And the king said to him, where is he? I like that. King said, where is he? David said, that sounds like the one I'm looking for. I love this. When David heard he was lame, he said, whoa, that's going to be a little too much. I mean, can you imagine? We're going to have to do special things, get him around the palace. That's a little too much. I don't really want to go that far. David said, no, where is he? I don't care how bad a condition he's in. Where's he at, Ziba? And you better thank God that God didn't take a second look at you and say, well, I don't know if I really want to get involved in that. No, he was willing to go and look beyond your faults and see your need, thank God. So, I love this. Ziba knew his name. He said, Jonathan hath yet a son. And I know he don't name him right there in the verse, but if he knows that Jonathan has a son, he knows his name. He knew his need. He's lame on his feet. And he knew his neighborhood. He said, he's down there in Lodi Bar. So we find that the desire of the sovereign. But number two, y'all right, we find the demonstration of salvation. Oh, I love this. Verses 4 through 8. Notice in verse 4, he was located. And Ziba said to the king, I know right where he's at. He's in the house of Maker, the son of Amliel, in Lodi Bar. Now, David said apparently because the sons of Saul, Grant, they've been hiding out. But you can't hide from God. You can't hide from the Holy Ghost of God. He'll track you down. He knows right where you're at. Ziba said, I know right where he's at. You better thank God that Jesus knew where to find you. The Spirit of God knew where you were sitting on that night. He knew where you was at when he come by and convicted your heart and showed you your need of a Savior. He was located. Now, you study it out, in order for Ziba to get to Lodi Bar, he'd have to get on a ferry. He had to cross that Jordan River. Jordan River pictures death. So death had to be crossed if Mephibosheth was going to get in. Oh, man, I'm telling you, y'all ain't enjoying this as much as I am. Amen. He crossed that Jordan River. Can you see old Ziba? He gets down there and says, take me to Lodi Bar. And that fella says, why you want to go to Lodi Bar? Ain't nothing over there. It's a place of no pasture and no bread. You know, there ain't nothing over there. Why does anybody want to go to Lodi Bar? Ziba said, there's somebody over there the king wants. Somebody there over there the king wants? Hey, man, why would Jesus Christ come in this wicked, sin-filled world? I'll tell you why. Because there's some people down here in Lodi Bar that cannot help themselves. That could not get... Hey, Mephibosheth couldn't get to the palace on his own. But there was one who was willing to cross death. Cross that great divide, if you would. Amen. And come to where we was at, thank God. He was located. But then, I love this. He was lifted. Verse 5. And King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Maker. Can you imagine that conversation? Ziba comes up to the house of Maker, the son of Amliel, down there in Lodi Bar. And gets to the door. Open up. It says, Ziba, the servant of the king. Open the door. And there, Mephibosheth's trying to hide out because it was custom for David to have killed all of Saul's descendants so they wouldn't try to rise and take the throne. Mephibosheth's trying to hide out. No doubt he maybe crawls into a back room, maybe into a closet. He's trying to hide out because he thinks Ziba's there to kill him. So they open up the door and say, Ziba, you found us. Where's he at? Where's Mephibosheth? We know he's here. They say he's in that back room. And can you see, I heard Buster Seaton preaching this about 5:30 Friday morning. He said, can you see, as Ziba opens up that door and the light shines on Mephibosheth, on them crippled legs, and he sees his condition. And Mephibosheth says, you found me. I guess you're going to kill me. And Ziba said, son, I ain't here for killing. I'm here for kindness. He said, David wants you to come to the palace. David wants you to come and be with him. Mephibosheth said, why in the world? Ziba said, he said he wanted to show you the kindness of God for Jonathan's sake. Son, I brought the chariot. I brought it over here to pick you up. We're going to take you back to the palace. And Mephibosheth said, I would love to go. I would love to go, but you see, I can't. Come here, Dax. I can't. I'm lame on my feet. Come here and lay on the floor. Let's lay down on the floor, son. Lay on the floor. The floor's right there. Lay down, flat, as flat as you can get. He says, sir, I'd like to come to the palace with you. See, I'm laying on my feet, and I can't get in that chariot. Miss Patty, they didn't have the wheelchair lift like you had. He said, I can't. Ziba said, that's okay. I come prepared. Just come here. Just come right along. I'll pick you up. And he walked him over there and took him where he could not go on his own and put him on the king's chariot. And say, just hang on, God, and go sit down. Ain't you? I didn't bless you like you should have. You couldn't get up on your own. You was in bad condition. But God come by, lifted you up out of your condition. Thank God, he's lifted. But then notice where he left. He said he fetched him out of the house of Maker, the son of Amiel from Lodibar. He said, Mephibosheth, look back and say goodbye, because you're never coming this way again. Amen. Brother Dominic, why churches are so boring? Amen. I tell you, I need to preach this one time in a good black church, let us shout and rejoice the Lord. That helped me out. But they just sitting here looking at me like a calf staring at a new gate, brother. I'm just telling you. You know I'm telling the truth. Amen. I need to get with it. Amen. He come right where he is at. He couldn't get up on his own. Like little Asher, he just got away. You know what he done? The fault did, he went and got him. Because he don't bother me at all. That's what we are, the children of God. We just wander astray and don't know. We're just going off, do what we want to do, but ain't we ever got a father? Come right behind us, say, come here. It takes us where we need to be. Hey, man, I'm enjoying this. And so what we find here, he left. He said, wave goodbye to Lodibar. You know, he didn't ride out in some broken down chariot. He rode out in the king's chariot. And can you see, sitting in that chariot, got the door closed, he's sitting there, can't nobody tell he's lame. Because he's just covered all the way around with the king's chariot. Can't nobody tell. They just say, look, you see that? There's the king's chair. And looky there. There's Mephibosheth. That's that old cripple. How in the world he'd get right there? And I tell you, we see people that are saved and singing for the Lord. And we say, boy, I remember what they used to be before they got saved. How'd they get there? It was God coming by our way and doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. He's waving goodbye to Lodibar. You remember when you waved goodbye to Lodibar? God saved you out wherever that wicked place. God pulled you out and you said, thanks to Calvary, I don't live here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be. God brought him out of Lodibar. That text said he fetched him out. He called us out so he could bring us in. Amen. Then notice his lowliness. Verse 6. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face. That touches me a little bit more, but Steve, being a man that's a cripple, he's sitting in that chair, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but he's in that chair, that contraption. He just falls down and humbles himself. Here's what he said. Why should I look upon such a dead dog as I am? Realize that's the second dog that David had met. Did you know that? He met another dog before, but he wasn't humble. He looked at David and said, am I a dog that you'll come out to me with staves? Talking about Goliath. Brother Brian McBride preaches a message on the day a king met two dogs. He humbled himself, said, why are you, he humbled himself. Hey, by the way, you won't get no help from God until you humble yourself. Got low, lowliness, and then it happened. Look at verse 6. And David said, Mephibosheth. Y'all are so boring. Called his name, said, Mephibosheth. As far as we know, it's the first time you ever heard a king call his name. He said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, behold thy servant. Watch this. You know, the next thing, he was liberated in verse 7. Here's the first thing. The second thing, first thing David said is, Mephibosheth, I love this. Fear not. Do you remember when he was facing God with your sin? You thought he was going to come with judgment, and you heard, fear not. He was liberated. At that moment, David had the power to destroy Mephibosheth, but instead of destroying him, he delivered him. He said, fear not, for I will surely show thee the kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and I will restore unto thee all the land that sold thy father, and thou shalt eat bread continually at my table. Consider this thought. Saul had ruined his family with his rebellion. But when Mephibosheth was brought to the king, he was liberated from his past. He said, Mephibosheth, everything your granddaddy lost you, I'm going to give it right back to you. Hey! Adam sold us out for a piece of fruit. We lost that fellowship with God. But everything we lost with the first Adam, we got it back. Second Adam, thank God. He was liberated. I love this. He said, verse 8, and this is a desperation for alliteration. He was lowly, he was liberated. But verse 8, I find Mephibosheth, he's at a loss. He said, what is thy servant? Thou shouldst look upon a dead dog as I am. We've referenced this already, but Mephibosheth might have said, David, I'm lame on my feet. I can't work in your field. I can't serve your table. I can't do it. David, I have nothing to offer you. And David said, oh, son, you ain't here because you got something to offer me. You're here because I got something to offer you. That's where everybody's got it messed up. Then they got to bring God. Hey, God didn't save you so you could bring him something. God saved you so he could bring you to something. Hey, man, I'm enjoying this if you can't tell. He was at a loss. He was simply amazed that the king would want to do all this for him. I don't know about you, but I'm amazed that God saved somebody like me. Anybody else testify that? I mean, we know us. We come to church, we put on a tie, you ladies put on a dress, or kilt, whatever, hot rod, and we come in and we love the Lord and we got everything right. But I tell you, God, we all know what went through our mind this week. We all know things we felt in our heart and thought in our heart. We wouldn't want anybody here to know that. And he knows it all and loves us anyway. That don't make an excuse for our sin, but it does. But it does offer us grace and mercy. So we find the desire of the sovereign. Is there any? And by the way, Jesus still asking that question. Any man thirst, let him come. Still. That offer's still on the table. He's never took that offer off the table. He will one day. But right now, the offer stands. The desire of the sovereign. The demonstration of salvation. But close in verses 9 through 13, there's the delight of the Son. Now, Brother Larry, I have preached all that before as far as David going and getting him and sitting at the table. But the Lord let me see some things Friday morning I'd never seen before. And I wasn't sure if it was the coffee or the 5 a.m. or just not sleeping. So we're going to see how it sounds this morning, all right? Y'all let me know if you think it was the coffee or I just didn't sleep. He was fruitful in verse 9 and 10. Watch this. Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, said to him, I have given thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and all his house. Thou therefore, thou and thy sons and thy servants, till the land for him. And thou shalt bring in the fruit, to thy master's son may have food to eat. Everything Saul lost was restored to Mephibosheth. Now consider the text. Mephibosheth was not physically able to go out and plow that field. He couldn't go out and plow and plant and reap. He couldn't do that. Couldn't do anything on his own. But Ziba, who pictures who? The Spirit of God. Said, we'll go out there and root it for him. And then bring in the fruit like he done it all himself. I can't sing. I can't preach. I can't do nothing. But God will put something in me. Do the work through me. And then do all the work. Just you, and then hand me all the fruit like I done it all by myself. In fact, you know what Mephibosheth would say? I can't even walk without him holding my hand. He was fruitful. He was being fed, verse 10. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. David declares that Mephibosheth would always have a place at the king's table. Not to serve, not as a servant, but as a son. Galatians 4 said we're no more servants, but sons. Amen. I understand we're servants of God practically, but positionally we're the sons of God. Amen. And passionately we're the bride of Christ. That's a good little outline. Amen. He was being fed always. It's not just a one-time meal. It's not just come over to the house and have a chicken leg with us. No, no, no. He said, every meal, you're going to sit right there. You got a place at the table. Hey, church, you know what Brother Montgomery's going to do tonight and Brother Shelton's going to do this week? They're going to be setting the table. All about you, I won't be at my place. I'm going to be right here at the table, ready to eat, ready to get what God has for me. Who's going to get your seat tonight? Who's going to get your seat tomorrow night because you ain't at the table? Amen. Or will your seat be empty? Amen. He was in the family, verse 11 and 12. He said, Mephibosheth eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. He dwelt in the house of Ziba and was servant to Mephibosheth. David declares Mephibosheth was going to be as one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth didn't have a daddy, Brother Richard. Jonathan had died. Mephibosheth said, I don't have no daddy. David said, that's all right. I'll adopt you. Amen. I mean, so many things jumping off the page, it's pitiful. That's why I know this Bible's real. But then, I'll give you two more things and I'm done. And actually, Brother Preston Young dealt with this yesterday a little bit. I already had the notes wrote down, but kind of confirmed we was going the right direction. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 19. 2 Samuel chapter 19. Lay out some context between 2 Samuel 9, 2 Samuel 19. A lot of bad things has happened in Israel. Preached about it last Sunday, 2 Samuel 11. David commits adultery, has Uriah killed, covers it up, and then, for lack of a better term, all hell breaks in David's life. Amnon rapes his sister in chapter 13. Absalom rises up in rebellion in chapter 14. David has to flee the kingdom in chapter 15. He's being cursed in chapter 16. I mean, everything's going wrong in David's life. David has to flee the throne. But now victory has come back to David. Absalom's been killed. Sorry to ruin that for you. Another joke on the men's trip, all right? And David's coming back into Jerusalem. In chapter 19, verse 24, the Bible says, then Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king. And watch this now. And had neither dressed his feet nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. It came to pass that David, now typologies fall off, but look at the text. When he was coming to Jerusalem to meet the king said to him, wherefore wentest thou not with me, Mephibosheth? He said, why didn't you go with me when I fled? He answered, my lord, which is Ziba. Types always fall off. Ziba turned out to be a bad dude before this thing was over. He said, O king, my servant deceived me. The servant said, I will saddle me an ass that I may ride thereon and go to the king because our servant is lame. Ziba said, when David was leaving, Ziba said, Mephibosheth, don't worry, I'm going to get you transportation, come get you. And he never come and got Mephibosheth and left him there in that tent, in the palace. And he has slandered thy servant to thy lord the king. Ziba told David, and Mephibosheth said he's going to take the throne. Mephibosheth never said that. Remember, understand, types fall off. Stay with me. We're going to pick it back up in a second. But my lord, the king, is an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine hands. And I love this. David said in verse 29, the king said to him, why speakest thou any more of the matters I have said? Thou and Ziba divide the land. He said, look, that's fine. We're good. Ziba's going to take part of the land. You take part of your land, Mephibosheth, and y'all to split ways. You know what Mephibosheth says in verse 30? And Mephibosheth said to the king, yea, let him take all. He said, let Ziba have all that land. For as much as my lord the king has come again in peace into his house. You know what he's saying? When things got bad in Israel, Mephibosheth didn't quit on David. And when David come back, Mephibosheth said, king, I'd rather have you than have those fields out there in the world. I'd rather have you just knowing I'm in your presence, king. I'd rather have you because you're the one that thought of me in Lodibar. And can I say this? When troubles and difficulties come, it's not time to quit on God. It's not time to go out to the world. But you need to remember the king come got you out of Lodibar, put you at the king's table. Don't quit on God now before before you lay out a church tonight, before you lay out a church this week, you better remember the fact that Jesus come down the lowly bar where you was at, pulled you out of that place, sat you at the king's table. How about you? I'd find my place at the king's table tonight. I'm sick and tired of all these lame excuses for people laying out and quitting on God. I tell you, if God really came to the lowly bar and got you, you'll want to find your place at the table saying, feed me, feed me, feed me. He said, I ain't here just to get something out from me. I'm here because you're here, King. Yes, but last of all, he was not forsaken. The Bible says, so Mephibosheth, verse 13 back in our text, you ain't got to turn, you stay where you're at because we're fixing to go to another chapter. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame at his feet. In closing, we note the final verse of 2 Samuel 9. David declares that Mephibosheth would always have a place at the table to eat. Turn to 2 Samuel 21. I'm done. Brother Young threw this out yesterday, and I'd already wrote the scriptures down and just confirmed in my heart we're in the right direction. I appreciate the Lord doing that. But when you come to 2 Samuel 21, a famine's in the land. And David don't know why. And the Bible said in verse 1, then there was a famine in the days of David 3 years, year after year. And David inquired, it is for Saul, because he slew the Gibeonites. You got to go back. I ain't got time to deal with all, but Saul had done the Gibeonites wrong. And the king called the Gibeonites, saying to him, now the Gibeonites were not the children of Israel, but the remnant of the Amorites. He gives some history there. Verse 3, wherefore David said to the Gibeonites, what shall I do for you? David said, what can we do to make this right so God will lift the famine off of our land? The Gibeonites said, verse 4, we have no silver or gold of Saul, nor of his house, neither for us shalt thou kill any man in Israel. And he said, what? He said, we don't want money. He said, what do you want me to do? They answered the king, the man that consumed us and devise against us that we should be destroyed from remaining any of the coast of Israel. He said, Saul, we want seven of his sons. Let seven of his sons be delivered unto us, and we will hang them up unto the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord did choose. And the king said, I will give them. They said, if we want to get this famine off the land, you give us seven of Saul's sons so we can execute judgment. David didn't have a choice. David said, I agree. But look at the next verse. But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between David and between Jonathan, the son of Saul. So the enemy's coming to try to get him back. His past is caught up with him. Now, you see, there's a hammer the whole time I preach. If you don't shout right here, we're going to send you down to the Presbyterian church. You may be the frozen chosen. But his past is catching up with him finally. And judgment is calling. And there were some that did die. And David said, I might deliver some, but the one that ain't going. And the reason he ain't going, there was bloodshed for this boy. And there was a warrant made for this boy. That boy ain't going. That boy's got a place at my table. Hey, when our past reminds us of what we used to be and what we've done, and it comes howling at our door, and when the blood speaks louder, and the word speaks louder, and thank God judgment will never come beating at my door, because the king said the blood was enough, and the word was enough. So when I see Mephibosheth, I see me. That's good. That's good preaching if I am doing it. I'm telling you, thank God when judgment called, mercy answered. Mephibosheth didn't have to die for who he was. He got to live in spite of who he was. And I'm not here today because of who I am. I'm here today in spite of who I am. It is nothing more than the grace of God. That's the story of Mephibosheth and me.